Welcome to the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Data Sources and JDBC Drivers for DB2 Version 9 Connecting to Web Sphere Application Server Version 7. Today's presenter is David Kanner. David is a Web Sphere Application Server Level 2 Support Representative. He has been working in application server, portal, commerce, and AIX for 10 years, both in IBM and one of the world's largest retailers. He currently works in the WASP CET team, which handles database issues with application server and works daily with DB2 products. He has certifications in both application server and DB2. He recently had an article published in the IBM WebSphere Developer Technical Journal dealing with application server and database issues. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to David.
Thank you, Joseph, and greetings to all who are attending. This is a beginner's course. It is intended for WAS admins who have little or no DB2 experience. This is a summary, not an extensive presentation. Its goal is to get you started and to provide you with a range of resources for you to then follow up on. Please download this presentation, read it first before configuring DB2 with WebSphere Application Server. Joseph, next slide, please. So our agenda today. Our agenda is configuring a JDBC provider and data source, tracing the JDBC driver, tuning the connection pooling, known issues, how to read a stack trace, and a new feature. In the team that I work in, which is with WASCET, these are the items that are the most important that we see on a daily basis. And so this gives you the full range from configuration all the way to problem determination. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, now before we begin, I need to point out that the JDBC driver is owned by the database vendor and not by WebSphere Application Server. Need to point that out first. Now we work every day with DB2 and other database vendors. We routinely address problems and issues in the databases that connect to WebSphere Application Server. But at the end of the day, it may become necessary for us to say you may need to go ahead and contact the database vendor. Also, before configuring a data source and connection pooling, you will need to acquire the JDBC driver and the license file. The best practice is to get these from your DB2 DBA. That way you always get the correct driver plus you also get the license, and it's the only way that you can get both of them in a single step. It might also be a good idea to have your DB2 DBA turn on DB2 logging. By default, this is turned off. So if there's any problems, any questions about DB2 refusing a connection from WebSphere Application Server, you can then go to your DBA and they can review the logs and help to resolve this. Also, there is an excellent Red Book out there. It is just go into Google and type Red P, P as in pepper, paper, 4577.pdf. Red P, 4577.pdf, and it's an excellent Red Book about connecting not only to DB2 but to also other databases such as Oracle and SQL Server. So on the slide here, to get the driver for DB2 for Linux, Unix, and Windows, I have a hyperlink here. You click on that and you can go ahead and download the driver. What you will need is the db2jcc.jar file and also your license file. Now the license file will not come from this link right here. This link will download the jar files, as I mentioned, the db2jcc .jar. It'll also give you the date db2jcc4.jar file, which I will discuss later on. But what I'm showing here is, and I'm doing this for simplicity's sake, because I'm going to be also talking about the db2jcc4.jar file. But this is for Linux, Unix, and Windows, and this is with the universal driver, which is what we were using with 6.1 and now with 7.0. And it is also a JCC 3.0 driver. But you will still need to get your license. And if you are running on DB2, Linux, Unix, and Windows, that license file is db2jcc_license_cu.jar. To get more information about getting license files, you can go to Google and type in WSG212-67176. Again, SWG212-67176. And there's an excellent article about getting the license. It's a two-step process. You have to first download the JDBC driver and then download the license. To do this in a single step, best practice, go to your DB2 DBA. If you do not get the correct license file or do not point WAS to the correct license file, later on in the presentation I'll show you how to test your data source, and it will fail. And then you can go into your system outlog. And what you would see in your system outlog if you're not using the license file or not using the correct one is you will see a DSRA0010E error. And in all cases, a DSRA0010E error means that there is a database issue. WebSphere is merely reporting an error that it is seeing from the database. Then in that error, you'll see the real error, which is coming from DB2, and that is SQL state 42968 with error code 4472. So if you see that in your system outlog, that means that you do not have the correct license or you're not using a license jar file, and then you can remedy that. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, and for DB2 running on top of ZOS, we have a new driver. It is a JCC 4.0 driver with the DB2 universal driver, which we've been using in 6.1 and also available in 7.0. It is a JCC 3.0 driver using the JDBC 3.0 specs. So this is a new driver and a new feature for WAS. As I mentioned, it uses the JDBC 4.0 spec. Now, these specs are not written by IBM. They are industry specs. In this case, it's written by Sun. If your database is running on top of ZOS, you will need the db2jcc_license_cisuz.jar. You'll also need it if DB2 is running on top of iSeries. And again, to read more about this, you can go into Google and type in WSG212-67176. And again, if you do not have the license file when you look into your system outlog, you will get, and again, this is once you test your data source, which I will show later on in the presentation, you will get DSRA001E with SQL state equal to 42968 with error code 4472. Also, this new driver, this new JCC4 driver, can be used with DB2 running on Linux, Unix, Windows if it's 9.5 or higher. So this is actually the driver and the jar file that we would like you to use. You can use it both on DB2 ZOS, you can use it on iSeries, you can use it on Linux, Unix, and Windows. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, environment variables. Before you can start your data source or JDBC driver wizard, you will need to set your environment variables. Now, to put the environment variable configuration into effect, you will need to stop and restart the server so that it can read its environment.xml file for the scope that you select. So notice here that in this wizard or in this page, first off, to get to this page, in your admin console, you go to environment variables. The first thing it will ask you to do is select your scope. variables have a different scope levels, either server, node, cluster, or cell. Now, the purpose of the scope is WebSphere, you can run it in a mixed environment. So you can have a federated cell in which you have Windows servers federated into it. You can have Unix servers federated into it. You can have Linux servers federated into it. And needless to say, as you can tell by the default value that I'm using here, this is set up on Windows. Needless to say, if you've got Linux federated in, if you've got Unix federated in, it's not going to be able to go out to C:\IBM/SQL lib/bin because that's a Windows address. So if you're running in a mixed environment, the default for this is node. If you're not running in a mixed environment, which I'm presenting here, then it's probably a good idea to go to the highest level that you have, either cell or cluster. That way all the members in the cell or the cluster have availability to the environment variable that's set up. And again, as I mentioned, the default value for this is the node level. The variable itself, if you're using the universal driver, which is the DB2, which is the JDBC 3.0, which is also JCC 3.0, the default for the variables is DB2 universal underscore JDBC underscore driver underscore native path. Now this would, in Windows, the default location for this, of course this is wherever you have it set up, this is merely just the default, is set up at C:\IBM/SQL lib/bin. Notice that native path is set up if you're using a type 2 driver. Now a type 2 is a non-Java driver, and this driver is also being deprecated, so we're wanting you to get away from this. We will need you to set up the, if you're using the universal driver, the DB2 universal underscore JDBC underscore driver underscore path. And again, that default location, if you're running on Windows, is in the SQL lib/Java, as opposed to the native path, which was in SQL lib/bin. And of course, this SQL lib/Java, which I have shown here, that is the actual path to where it can find the db2jcc.jar file if you're running the universal driver, or if you're using the JDBC 4.0 driver, the latest and greatest, which I showed in the previous slide, that jar file is also located there. If you are using the latest and greatest, the JCC 4.0 driver, then its variables that you have to set up are called db2 underscore JCC underscore driver underscore native path if you're using type 2, or if db2 underscore JCC underscore driver underscore path if you're using the type 4 driver, which is what we would recommend. And again, they would also be located in the default location, which is SQL lib/bin or SQL lib/Java. In fact, when you download the driver, as I showed in the previous slide, it'll have both the db2jcc.jar file and the db2jcc.4.jar file. If you go through this wizard, and at the end of it, I'll show you how to test the connection. If you do not have this set up correctly, go again to your system out log, and the error that you will see there is DSRA8040i failed to connect to the data source, encountered class not found exception, which makes sense since this is looking for class files, jar files. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, so once you have your environment variable set, you can now do your data source creation wizard. This wizard is in your admin console. Just go to Resources, JDBC, Data Sources, select New. And then, of course, the first thing it wants you to do is select your scope. And by selecting the different scopes, it'll show you the resources that are defined in that scope. In this particular example, I don't have anything defined in any of the scopes, so nothing shows up. If you're running Deployment Manager, resources are available for cell, node, cluster, or server. If you're running Express, Of course, it doesn't have the cluster. It's just available for cell, node, or server scope. Again, the default is node. So if you have issues with this, you may need to come back and set it to node because the provider might not be available in other scope contexts. Also, one thing to keep in mind if you are running, again, if you're running in Deployment Manager and setting it at cluster level, all the cluster members must be at version 6 to use the cluster scope. That's one of the beauties of WebSphere. Although this presentation is for WebSphere 7, in the cluster you can have WAS 6.1 or WAS 6 running in it also. Joseph, next slide, please. This will bring you to the second page of the data source creation wizard. You will need to select a data source name. It can be anything you want. I select DB2 V9 Cell Universal 4. Why? Because this presentation is about setting up a DB2 version 9 cell scope level universal driver type 4. Then you have to select a JNDI name. Now, the only requirement is that the JNDI name is a completely unique name. It is WebSphere Application Server's best practice that you begin this name with JDBC/, then whatever the name of your, then whatever name for your JNDI. Myself, I always just use the practice of JDBC/. I give it the same name as my data source, and then you notice I give it JNDI. So that's a very unique name there, and I just use that as a best practice. You hit next. Joseph, next please. And that brings you to the third page of the wizard, the data source creation. Now, there are two wizards that are listed. You have the data source wizard, which I am showing, but you also have the JDBC provider wizard. And you could, if you wanted to, run the JDBC provider wizard before running the data source. That it would make it a two-step process. The beauty of the data source wizard is that it combines both those wizards into one. Here I have, you can select create new JDBC provider, and it just goes ahead and launches the JDBC wizard and just makes it one continuously long wizard. If you've already done that step, you can just hit select and then pick out your previous JDBC driver. If this is a new install without any JDBC drivers or data sources installed, it will skip this page completely, but that will only happen once during the life of the WebSphere installation. So from there on out, you will see this page. Next slide, please, Joseph. Okay, and then it asks you what kind of database that you want to use. Notice that supported databases is a hyperlink, and you can just, once you download it, you can just click on that, and that will take you out on our one of our websites, which has all the supported databases for WebSphere 7. And then, of course, this presentation is about DB2, but we also work with many other fine databases like Oracle and SQL Server. For DB2, you can the databases that are supported with WAS 7 is DB2 if it's running on iSeries 5.3 or greater, if it's running on ZOS version 8 or greater, and if it's running on DB2, if DB2 is running on Linux, Unix, or Windows, we actually have another tech note just for that. You can go to Google and you can just type in SWG 2701 3265, SWG 2701 3265, and that will list all the DB2 servers and versions that run that are supported with WebSphere versions version 7. And then also the WebSphere Information Integrator 8.2 Fixed Pack 8 or greater is supported. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, this brings us to the next one, which is provider type. Notice that provider type is also a hyperlink, so once you have it downloaded, the presentation downloaded and running it, You can just click on this, and that will take you to a tech note in our info center to read more about this. DB2, the first one listed is DB2 using IBM JCC driver. As I've mentioned in the previous slides, this supports the new JDBC 4.0 and is the next generation of DB2 universal JCC drivers. So DB2 using IBM JCC driver is also the universal driver. And to use this JDBC 4.0 driver, as I've mentioned in previous slides, you will need the DB2 JCC 4.jar file and then the license file depending upon what operating system that DB2 is running on. Notice also on our slide that under DB2 using IBM JCC driver, the next one is DB2 Universal JDBC driver provider. This also is a DB2 JCC driver, but it is 3.0. It's the one that we were using in 6.1. You can also use it in 7.0. Underneath that is DB2 for iSeries. If you are using iSeries locally for local connections, you would use the native. If you're running DB2 on iSeries and you're calling out to a remote DB2, you would use Toolbox. And then, for more information, you can just simply go into the Info Center for version 7, and you can just type in JDBC Provider Summary, and it will give you all this good information. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, implementation type. Notice the selection it gives you, it gives you only two choices, connection pool data source or XA. Connection pool data source is a one-phase commit processing, connection pooling. And this is the most common that we see. The one underneath that, XA, this is also connection pooling, but instead of just being one-phase commit, it is two-phase commit. So how do you decide if you're using one-phase commit or two-phase commit? Well, this is actually decided by your application developer. For example, if the application that you're going to be deploying queries against two or more databases, then you must use the XA drivers. Applications that use XA data source configuration, as pointed out here, also have the benefit of container-managed transaction recovery. And this is an IBM top 10 best practice. And for your application developer to read more about this, have him go to Google and type in 0405_brown, B-R-O-W-N .html. And that will take him to this really good article in DeveloperWorks written by one of our developers. Again, that's Google 0405_brown.html. And this will show why this is an IBM best practice, is that instead of having him develop your own transaction manager, you can just have WebSphere do it. And our container will almost always be better at transactions optimization. And then a final note on XA drivers, if you are using Type 2 and your data and WAS is running on ZOS, this is not supported, so you can't use an XA driver if you're using Type 2 and WAS is running on ZOS. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, setting up a class path. Okay, now in the previous, one of the first slides I showed you how to go and set it up under environment variables. You can also, if you want, you can skip that step and you can put it in right here. As you see on here on the right-hand part of the screen, it says directory location for DB2 JCC.jar, and you can actually give it the full path. In this example, I also show you on the left-hand side where, in my example, the default where it's located at. When you download the JDBC driver and extract it, this is where it goes. As you can see here, it has the DB2 JCC.jar file, but it also has the DB2 JCC 4.jar file. And then also you can set up your native path, which instead of course going to sqllib/java goes to sqllib/bin, the default. Now, if you read the PDF that I mentioned earlier in the presentation, we have a really good red book out there, which is, again, that's redp4577.pdf. They just had you go ahead and set up the environment variables right here. What I do is I just do both, and then that's a best practice, and that way you don't have to worry about this issue down the road. Okay, Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, then that brings you to page 8 of the wizard. First thing you'll need to do is select either type 2 or type 4 of the driver. Type 2 is for non-Java, and in our case, it's written in C, and it's designed for local databases or for using DB2 Connect locally. This feature has been deprecated. We're hoping to move you away from using Type 2. IBM recommends Type 4, which I have selected here. One, it requires no client. Two, it is written in Java and designed to connect to remote databases. And three, it has much better performance because it is written in Java. Then you'll have to select a database name, and this is the actual name of the database if a Type 4 driver is selected. In DB2, you can create a sample database, which is what I'm showing here. Of course, it's whatever the name of the database that you need to be connecting to. Or if you are using a Type 2 driver, you would put in the locally cataloged database name. Then you would need to put in the server name. This can be a TCP IP address or the host name of where DB2 server is residing. You will need to provide this property only if Type 4 driver is selected. Type 2 driver does not require this. And then the port number. The default for installing, when you install DB2, the default is port 50,000. Of course, it's wherever your DBA puts this. Maybe he selected a different port when installing it. And then finally, notice that, and this is also a default that I have checked, use this data source in a container managed persistence. And this provides your application a benefit if it is using container managed persistence, EJBs. Joseph, next slide, please. And now we're at container managed authentication aliases. This is merely how do you pass the user ID and password on to your database in order to log in. IBM recommends that you have both selected both component managed authentication alias and also container managed authentication alias. Component managed is where the application is passing the user ID and password. Container managed is if WebSphere is passing it, but IBM recommends the best practice is you select both of them. If you do not have component managed authentication alias set up correctly in your system outlog, when you go to test your data source, it'll fail, you'll get an error, and you go to your system outlog. The error code that you will see is 4461 with SQL state 42815. And then, of course, if you're going to set up both of these, we would recommend that your mapping configuration alias be set up to default principal mapping. Also notice that we are using aliases and not the actual user ID and password, and this is an extra layer of security. Notice that at the bottom of this slide here, it says global J2C authentication alias. Notice that that's a hyperlink, and if you click on that, Joseph, next slide, please. It brings you to this page. Now, you can get to this page either by clicking on that hyperlink, or you can do this before running your data source wizard, which is also a good idea. You can do this in your admin console from security, global security, Java authentication, and then J2CA authentication data. Now, the reason why I showed this the way it is because I'm wanting to show you all the steps that are available in the data source connection wizard. And notice here that you can give it an alias. This is where you put in the user ID and password for your database. If this step is not done and you do the test connection and it fails, you go out to your system outlog, what you would see is a DSRA0010E, SQL state equals null, error code equals 99,999. Now, a word of advice on this. This is a generic code. You'll see this in other issues also. This is a code, we don't know what it is, so we're just throwing out a generic, and you will see it if the, in this case, if the alias is not set up correctly. Joseph, next slide, please. And this is a final page in the wizard, which merely just shows you a summary of everything that we've done so far. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, and here you have the data source. So we've created the data source, and we test it, and it comes back that it tested. Hopefully, it comes back that it tested successfully. This should be dynamic, but we do see in some cases where you have to restart the WebSphere in order for it to read its resources.xml. Again, if you have any issues, if it fails, you go to your system outlog and review the error that you see. Joseph, next slide, please. If you are seeing issues, then if it can't be resolved by reviewing the system outlog, then tracing will need to be required. Myself in WASCET, our team, that's the way we spend most of our days. We spend it reading system outlogs, and if we can't resolve it that way, then we ask for tracing, and we read tracing logs. A best practice is to first clear out your logs, then run the following must-gather. I have the link there. That will take you to a must-gather just for database connection issues. Last time I checked, there's about 200 must-gathers for WebSphere Application Server, and so this one is just for connection pooling and JDBC issues. When you go to this link, it's going to try, well, the default is IBM wants you to download a piece of software called Isolite. And we in Level 2 use Isolite every day. We're trying to get all of our customers to use Isolite. And it's a free piece of software. You download it, and it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to use it. If you do use Isolite, we always encourage you to take the default so that it can collect the configuration information. However, if you would just want to do it manually, you can hit on this link here, and you'll then, in that page, look for collecting data manually. You click on that, it will take you to a new site which gives you the step-by-steps on how you can just do it manually. We also ask that you restart WAS so that we get a startup trace, and then send us the trace or the file that is produced from using Isolite. If you just send the trace log, be sure to also send your FFDC logs directory. And then also send us the exception exception stack. And this will include the error that you're seeing and the timestamp. And then that way we can go into the trace log, look for your timestamp and the error that you see, and then take it from there. Joseph, next slide, please. Connection pooling, tuning. We get a lot of questions on this. The following are IBM's suggestions for improving performance and also preventing stale connections. To get to this in your admin console, go to Resources, JDBC, Data Sources, the name of your data source, and then on the right hand you'll see Connection Pool Properties, and you click on that. Basically, there's three parameters that we discuss: maximum connections, minimum connections, and purge policies. Now, the default for max connections is 10 when you install WebSphere out of the box. If it is set too low for your application, you will see J2CA0045E or connection wait timeout exceptions, again, in your system outlog or tracing. Now, if the problem eventually clears up, that is, it's just taking longer than it normally should be, as opposed to in order to resolve the issue, you have to reboot or something to that effect. But if a problem eventually resolves itself, the most likely cause is that maximum connections is not set high enough for the load on your application, and you will need to increase the maximum connections. Of course, the next question that we always get is, okay, what is the value that I need to put in? The official answer is IBM cannot provide you this answer. Everybody's install is unique. You will have to determine what the optimum value is for you, and you'll have to do this through load testing. Now, having said all that, if you are running WAS 7.005 or greater, then you can use an IBM. IBM now has a performance tuning script out there for WFAdmin. And if you look at that, if you open it up and look at it, for production values, it will set, if you run this and you're running in production and ask if you're running in production, it will set your max connections at 50. But nonetheless, what the final number that you will need to be using is up to you. Minimum connections, the default is 1. IBM sets it that way for improved performance. We recommend that it be set to 0. And we have a lot of customers call in. We have them set to 0. We never have customers call back and say that they've taken a performance hit on this. Setting it to 0 will help prevent stale connections. The reason why is setting it to 0 enables pool maintenance threads to clean up all the connections in the pool after they are unused for more than the unused timeout parameter shown here, number in seconds. If the minimum connection is set to greater than 0, if it's, for example, left here at 1, WAS will keep that number, at least that number of connections in the pool indefinitely. And the longer that a connection remains in the pool, the more susceptible it becomes to becoming stale. And then finally, we want to make sure that your purge policy is set to an entire pool, which now is the default. Okay, Joseph, next slide, please. Known issues. Okay. Again, download this presentation. Run it. You'll see that all of these are hyperlinks, including known issues. If you click on known issues, it will take you to our version 7 Info Center, and it will show a whole list of known problems, and you can work through that. Also, the first link that I take you to is the troubleshooting guide. We use this every day. It's got a lot of good information in it. Be sure to have that bookmarked. Underneath that, I have J2CA. If you click on that, that will take you again into the Info Center for version 7. It will list all the J2CA errors, give you a very brief description, and in many cases, it will give you a very brief resolution. Then I list several J2CA errors that we have really solid tech notes on, and you can review that. And then finally, we have a problem determination guide. This is yet another red book, and it's an excellent resource, and everyone should have it. Joseph, next slide, please. How to read a stack trace. The Java stack traces are not the easiest to read. I find them I don't find them intuitive, and a lot of the customers I talk to on a daily basis don't find them intuitive either. So I'm giving you here an example of what we do in WASCET every day. It's reading these stack traces either from the system out log or from the trace log. So how do we read it? So here we have an example of a stack trace. Notice it has the timestamp and the error. PMGR 1013E. Okay, so the way you read it is, okay, I give you the timestamp. In your system out log or your trace log, you then go read down to the very next timestamp. Then you read up. You read up and you look for the first cause by. And there may be multiple cause bys, but you're looking for the first one, the very first one, from the bottom. Okay, so go down to the next timestamp, read up, looking for the very first cause by. And then this case, the cause by is caused by java.sql.sqlexception, blah, blah, blah. error opening socket to server gives the server name, IP address on port 50001 with the message, and then it gives you a nested error, DSRA0010E. Oh, we automatically know this is a database issue. It's not a WebSphere issue. SQL state null equals code 4499. So that's the error, the problem. The problem is not the PMGR1013E. It is this DSRA0010E. Now, what SQL state null error code 9940 error code 4499 means is that you're using the wrong port number. And notice that it even provides what port number that you're using, 50001. The default is 50000. So in this case, to resolve this issue, it was merely changing in the connection database wizard, as I showed you, putting in the correct port number, which is 50000, which is the default. Okay. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, new features. Notice that the isolated resource provider in the presentation, it's also a hyperlink. You click on that, it's going to take you to an article in the Info Center. This is a new feature which allows different versions of DB2 and different JDBC drivers to run together by assigning each JDBC driver its own class loader. What we have been seeing in previous versions before was 7.0, and this is an issue with Java and not with WebSphere per se, is only one class loader would get loaded. So your application would go out, it would call a JDBC driver, the JDBC driver would call a class loader, it gets loaded, everything runs fine. Your second application comes along, it gets started, it goes out and looks for its own JDBC driver, which is different. Class loader says, hey, already got a JDBC driver loaded, and then you get multiple different kind of errors. The way we resolve that in version 7 is that we would have you go back, set up the JDBC driver, and then go back into here. And the way that you would get here is in your admin console, go under resources, JDBC provider, name of the JDBC driver, and then it would allow you to edit it from there, bring us up this page. And then you would click isolate this resource provider. Notice that it's grayed out, and I did that specifically. The reason why it's grayed out is because you have you're using a type 2 driver. You've got your native path here that's set up. Type 2 drivers are non-Java. In our case, they're running C. So you couldn't use it. Yeah. So what you would have to do is take that out, and then that would allow you to isolate this resource provider. Okay, Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, here's some more resources that you should have bookmarked. So download the presentation, go and click on this, data access resources, minimum requirements for DB2 on ZOS, minimum requirements on DB2 on Linux, Unix, Windows, JDBC provider summary. These are all excellent articles in the Info Center. And then I threw in also tracing for Type 2 and then also a Developer Works article that you could give to your developer on performance tuning Type 4 drivers. Joseph, next slide, please. Okay, additional WebSphere product resources. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one that you just attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. Developer Works, it offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphereUsersGroup.org for user group information and more product info. The IBM Education Assist contains self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve very quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And then the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for the products that interest you. This will conclude my presentation. Thank you again for attending. Joseph, back to you.
Thank you, David, for a wonderful presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have one question from David Yang. Your line is open.
Hi. I had a question about SQL codes and SQL state errors. Like, if we see them in the messages, is there, like, a table somewhere that will list the meanings of the different error numbers? Or should we just Google the error codes and the SQL codes and SQL states to find the meanings?
That's an excellent question. I'm searching through my notes right now. Usually, when it gets to this point, it's really more in the DB2 hands than it is the WebSphere hands. And I have not really ever found a really good, you know, single link that shows them all. I always wind up having to search on whatever specific SQL error that I'm seeing.
Thanks.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.